on the news line with us now. Marcia Hubler is back on the line. She's from Snyder County. She can go by the director of the Montrose Christian Writers Conference, but she's a prolific local author. Gave us a couple of how-to steps on how to write a book the last time we talked to her. I've been doing detailed outlines ever since on every post-it note I write, and it's really helped me out.
Great.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Marcia. I just think it's fabulous. We've gotten to speak two times. We have never yet been in the same room together, so I think we got to do that at some point.
We've got to work on that.
Well, I do appreciate you calling in. Okay. Well, first of all, you do have a book signing coming up, so if folks have copies of The Loves of Snyder County or Tommy Pockets or the Keystone Stable series, you have an appearance coming up, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's not too local. This one is down in the Mannheim area at a homeschooling convention on a Saturday on February 1st. But I will be having several local ones coming up in the spring, and that usually includes even a place like Kohl's Hardware. It's amazing when I have book signings at places like that, especially with my horse books. You know, the farmers and the locals come in, and kids love horses, so I usually do quite well at places like that, and you'd never think so. But that'll be coming up in the spring when I have several in this area.
Well, I think a lot of your books deal with individuals who live in a rural area, and so therefore
yes.
A hardware store becomes a place you'd more likely to frequent. So, well, you keep us posted about that schedule. We'll keep you. We would definitely like to talk about that. Well, let's talk about how to write a book. You had talked about a detailed outline the first time we spoke on the line. So, first of all, how do you know if you have a book in you?
Well, it's kind of a haunting experience that just rumbles around in your brain, and you get this idea, whether it's nonfiction or fiction, and you just can't let it go. And to start writing a book, I've always told in my workshops to beginners, 90% of good writing is thinking. And you've just got to work this through, and the best thing to do is get those ideas just listed on a piece of paper or in your computer, and you go from there, and you work on that, what we call a chapter outline, which really is not a Roman numeral 1, 2, 3. It's just a little paragraph about each chapter or each section and what you'd like to say. If you're writing fiction, a lot of fiction is based on what you know or what you've experienced, and you go from there into the fiction, that fantasy world. Now, of course, nonfiction is usually about your experiences or something that you think is passionate in your life and you want to share with others. But to start writing a book is really quite an adventure. And many people, unfortunately, do start out the wrong way, thinking, I think I'm going to have this book idea, and I have time, I'm going to write this book. That's really not the best way to start. The best way to start is to learn the craft by writing newspaper articles, magazine articles, short stories, and submitting them to magazines for publication. When you master the short story or the article, how to handle that properly, then you move on to the book.
Well, and I suppose a lot of people say, well, I had a book in me and I wrote something. Here it is. It's 70 pages or 100 pages.
Right.
What do you think?
Right. And that's another really big mistake that beginners make. It's very easy these days to get published through Amazon. You can self-publish with very little money up front. And that's wonderful because, in a way, if you try to get to submit to what we call royalty or traditional publishers, you can wait 6 months up to 2 to 3 years to get your book published, even if they're interested. And oftentimes when you submit your manuscript idea to them, you might not even hear from them. So that's very frustrating. But when you go to self-publish, you can have a book in your hands in a month. The biggest mistake that beginners make is they don't have their manuscript edited. And that's made the whole writing world kind of droop a little bit when you see a poor product out on the market representing the author's world. Editing is the most important part of writing that you'll ever face. And editing doesn't mean going through it once and making sure all your periods are where they should be. You need a content editor, you need a punctuation editor. There are all types of people who can help you get that book ready. And that does cost a little money. That's where your biggest expense is going to be. If you write a book that's about 150 to 180 pages long, and you're a beginner, most likely, that might cost you about $1,000 to $1,500 to get that edited. But then you'll have a product that you can be proud of.
Well, and they'll also look at the content of it and see if maybe you have it laid out in a cogent fashion or,
correct.
You know,
correct.
And of course, they'll also either suggest or do they just outright go ahead and make changes where they see something that, you know, you could really change things for the better?
They will, a good editor will do research, and especially if you do historical fiction or if you're writing nonfiction that has a lot of facts. They'll review all of those facts, make sure they're right, plus the actual writing, the punctuation, the content, the paragraph construction. And everything is done through email these days. Nothing's printed out anymore. You send your manuscript off to an editor through email attachments. They use the tools in Word, the track changes and the comments. All those are put in the manuscript and sent right back to you through email, and you might never even meet your editor face-to-face unless you choose to, if she's local. But that is the way to make your book something that of which you can be proud. I've seen some self-published books in my time that just made my hair stand up, including a punctuation mistake on the title, right in the first page. And that's bad news. You're not going to sell a lot of your own books if you don't have a product of which you can be proud.
Well, this is an aside, I guess, but we see a lot of bad grammar and a lot of bad punctuation all the time now. So,
right.
Does this make you cringe also, this idea that we seem to be lowering our guard a little bit, lowering the standard?
Absolutely, and I believe that's all because of the technology and the speed that we can type in our cell phones, and you know, that's another a completely different language, and you've got to separate yourself from that to write a book that has excellent grammar. And yeah, I agree. You're an author and an editor. You really can have the hair stand up in the back of your neck when you see some things that are coming out. So that's something that's so important. When we talk to beginners in our workshops, we say, get out your fifth and sixth grade grammar books and start all over, because it's so important. And I'm mentoring several young teenagers who are studying, and they don't care for English much. I said, right there is the whole key to you becoming a successful writer, learning to handle our English language correctly.
Well, do some writers have poor grammar? Do we ever get to see that if they're a successful author? I mean, are there, maybe the right question is, are there any self-published authors who are super successful, who are making it?
Yes, there are quite a few. And, you know, the word successful, you can put in quotation marks. If you mean by successful, then making a lot of money. That really has a lot to do not only with the quality of the book, but your marketing campaign. And most of us writers do not enjoy marketing because it takes away the time that we have to write. But you, whether you publish with a royalty traditional company or you self-publish, the marketing is pretty much up to you. And it costs a lot of time and a lot of money to do book signings, or to have speaking engagements, or wherever your venue is, wherever your audience is, you need to go to them. Because if you see your book in Barnes & Noble on a shelf, that's great, but they're not going to do any marketing for you. Your book is in there with thousands of other books. So the best way to market yourself is to get out there, be online, be in Facebook, have a blog, a website, whatever, but marketing is always ever before us to get our name out there, because if people don't know about you, they're not going to be interested in your book. And there are all kinds of ways to market, but it does take time and money. That is a very important part of becoming a bestseller. And I've found out over the last 15, 20 years how hard that is and how expensive it can be. But to be a bestseller, you've got to really make some tracks and get your name out there. And it's difficult, especially if you're just starting out. Best-selling books, usually for adults, they want to see 20,000 books sold. For children's books, 5,000 copies would make it a bestseller. And I have many writer friends who either had a traditional publisher or they self-published, and they're really happy just selling 400 or 500. So you can see how much legwork has to be done to be considered a bestseller.
All right, so you really have to get those numbers. Are people reading less today?
Unfortunately, I don't think our children are reading the way they should. Again, the technology here is wonderful, but it's pulled our children away from book reading. They're into gaming, a lot of other things on the cell phone that are keeping them away from that television. I know that teachers are very concerned about that. Some kids like to brag that they've gone through public school and never read a book. Well, that's not really anything to brag about. But again, if you write a book that has interest to the audience that you're focusing on, hopefully you'll be able to reach that audience and they'll read your book. But yes, reading books has really come down quite a bit as far as the popularity, and it's sad. That's why we're losing so many of our, one of the reasons we're losing so many of our little local mom-and-pop bookstores. There's another reason as well. That's just online ordering. But the interest in reading is not what it should be.
Well, of those people that I know that still do a lot of reading, Kindle's a great way to do reading, they say. So
yes.
That's a factor.
That's the one salvation I think we have with reading. The Kindle is there, and the younger generation prefers that, where the older folks, like me, would rather be touching that paper. But no matter, whichever way, it's still good to have folks reading quality material.
Well, I wear out headphones listening to Audible books, so that's my
great
pleasure.
That's great.
Yeah, I used to listen to them on cassettes back in the day. All right, well, thank you so much, Marcia. MarciaHubler.com. If you want more information, she's got a number of blogs going and helps for people, and MontroseBible.org if you're interested in that Montrose Christian Writers Conference. We'll meet again in 2 months this time. It'll be warmer, and I want you to come and see us, and we'll dig into this even deeper, Marcia. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, and I'll be very glad to come back and see you again.
Do appreciate that. Marcia Hubler.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Marcia Hubler. MarciaHubler.com, MarciaHubler. A prolific local author, lecturer, and teacher. She has a book signing coming up in Mannheim, she mentioned. And we're going to keep walking through this process of writing and getting published, and try to keep drumming up interest in books. So you can find more information about her on the WDKOK podcast and Sunrise preview page.